Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com, their service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone on the top of the homepage, and type in ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number here, Real Ghost Stories Online. There we go. Short cord.
Yeah.
Also, I was like, what happened? It's sounding strange. I can't hear myself, but I can hear the music up behind me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or, of course, you can email me your story. Send them to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. We may use it on a future episode of the program. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing lovely.
Good.
Just lovely. Looking forward to some of the stories here today, and I think we might just kind of jump right into those. Got quite a few to get through on the episode. Again, 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in and share those experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, guys. Adrienne here from Massachusetts. Found your show on a road trip to Florida that I took with my dad and my daughter, who is 10. She's really into creepy stuff. So we watched it, listened to it to pass the time, and fell in love with it. So I have a few short stories I want to tell you today, really quick ones, one involving my parents and two involving my son, who is now 20. The first story, and I'm not great at telling stories, so please bear with me, and I'll keep them short. So, this story happened before I was born, I believe. My father, always a skeptic. My mother, definitely more into the paranormal. So, I'll give you a little background. My mother's maternal grandmother was a psychic medium way back, I believe in the 20s. She had my grandmother in 1925, so I believe it would have been, maybe in the 20s, that she actually used to help the police in cases, even as far back as the 20s they were doing this. She helped find a missing child. She must have been up in her 90s this time, and my parents were together. My father, very much a skeptic, and they went to bed, and my mother woke up around, I'm not sure the exact time, but I'll say 3 o'clock in the morning, because that's when all these things happen usually. So say she wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she shakes my dad awake, and she said, "My grandmother just visited me to say goodbye." And my father says, no, go back to sleep. She's fine. Your mother would have called you. She's fine. So they both go back to sleep. And lo and behold, around 5 or 6 in the morning, the phone rings. She answers the phone. It's my grandmother telling her grandmother had passed away in the evening around that same time. So that made my dad a believer also. It's in the family. So, we have a rich history of these kinds of things. We have Celtic backgrounds and everything. So, okay, story number two. My son, I was a single mom. I had my son when I was 17, lived at home, and so my room was right next to his. And one night he was sleeping in his crib, and I was in my room watching TV or listening to music or something, and all of a sudden, and this kid was one of those kids who just slept like a, you know, slept like a log. Like, you could not wake him up if he was asleep. So he must have been like, he was in a crib, so he must have been like, I don't know, 6 months old. And all of a sudden he starts screaming or crying in the middle of the night. And I go running into his room because this is very strange, very unusual. And I see this green orb coming up out of his crib, or hovering like over his crib. It was the weirdest thing. It was like pale green orb of light, kind of hazy. And then it was gone. And he was fine. Nothing was wrong with him. He went back to sleep. He didn't even need to be consoled, from what I remember. And So my great aunt passed away recently before that. So I truly believe that it was her visiting him, checking on him. Maybe something was going on. And who knows? So my last story also involves him. So I need to preface this with, I was raised Catholic, but I did not raise my son Catholic. I raised him as a spiritualist and never taught him the story of Jesus. And, there is no way that he would know the things he was telling me. So he had no knowledge of who Jesus was, what his story was. Maybe at the most, he might have known that Christian friends might believe, you know, that he was a son of God or something like that. So we were up in New Hampshire, staying in a cottage, like a cabin, with my mom and her boyfriend, and they had gone out for the evening, and we were in bed, and we were sharing a bed, because it was this tiny little cabin. So we're laying there, and it's kind of early, but, you know, I want him to go to sleep, and we're just kind of, you know, chilling, hanging out and relaxing, you know, trying to get him to go to sleep. And he's one of those kids who, you know, is kind of all over the place. He's on the spectrum. He has Asperger syndrome, so sometimes it takes him a while to calm down or whatever. But for some reason, so he was really calm this night, and we're laying in bed together, and he starts talking to me about this dream he had. So he says, I had this dream, and it was Jesus, and he came and talked to me, and he said that sometimes, I don't know his exact words, so I'm paraphrasing. So sometimes when you're different, you know, it's difficult. But when he was alive, they were really mean to him because he was different. And I'm like speechless at this point, because this kid doesn't know the story of Jesus and his, you know, being crucified or anything like that. He'd never been exposed to the story. But he's basically telling me that Jesus came to him and told him that he basically, people who are different, you know, can be, you know, sometimes they can be picked on, or, you know, and this kid, you know, who has Asperger syndrome, he's a little different, you know, people don't understand him. But so basically saying that he came and told him that he was persecuted for being different and having different ideas. So that just blew me away. In the spiritualist community, we do believe that Jesus was a person and it is in spirit, and, you know, can, you know, come to us just like other spirits. So I thought you might think that story was interesting. I'm sure I'll call back with a few more at some point, but those are the three that came to mind today while I was listening. All right. I did forget to mention that my son was probably about 4 years old at this time. All right, so thanks. I hope to hear my story on the show sometime. Love your show, guys. Keep up the good work.
I think that from the grandmother all the way down to the son, that everybody in that line has some sort of level of sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's really interesting that the grandmother was able to help police that far back. I had no idea that they were doing that long ago.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was more recent.
That is something that, you know, was taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
At that period. Yeah, thank you for the story. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I would say you have a very, very sensitive family,
yeah,
so to speak. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Holidays are here. It is the time where there's a lot of things going through the mail. And one thing you can cross off your to-do list is stopping by the post office. And you can do everything that you can do at the post office at home with stamps.com. It's such an easy thing to use. They will help you survive the holiday season. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Post Office right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Then the mailman just picks it up. Stamps.com, they make it so easy. Then they'll send you a digital scale. Yes, automatically calculating exact postage as well, so you're not putting extra stamps on there and wondering, did I waste a whole bunch of money here? No, they will make sure you do not waste money. In fact, they'll save you money. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail every time. Print postage any day, anytime. Stamps.com, they are always open. We use Stamps.com. We love it. Right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Ghost, Stamps.com, and enter in Ghost. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Nicholas from Arizona. Now, I'm just calling, or actually I'm recording, to kind of clarify a little mishap that I had in my story. That was actually the title feature on one of the episodes. I think it was called Homemade Ouija. So that's really cool. Thank you guys so much for doing that. That's really cool. Now, I've been seeing the feedback from the YouTube side of the community, and apparently I rambled on a little too much. So let's just condense the story a bit and just kind of clarify the actual point of what I was trying to say. So there was this entity or this spirit that we believed that was in my friend's house called the Doorman. Now, he was called the Doorman just because every time someone had seen them or every time someone had felt his presence or her presence, or we believe it was a him. That's why we called him Doorman. But every time someone felt his presence, it would be near a doorway, like a door entryway, not necessarily the front nor the back door, but any door that was in the house. So they told me about that story because I wasn't amongst the group at the time they had all seen him. So they were like, yeah, there's a ghost here. And I was like, let's do a Ouija board. But none of us had the money to go get one. So we just made a makeshift one out of like paper. And then we took a little piece of paper and used that as the planchette. So what I was getting at before is that there was a large group of us that were willing to do this. So, you know, we went around the house, cut off all the lights, gathered some candles, picked a room, any room in the two-story house, and we divided ourselves. So we divided the group that were going to be messing with the Ouija board, and we placed us inside the room. There's like 3 or 4 of us. And then we had the other half of the group sit outside the room by the door just to kind of listen, because as I said, it's a door entity. It's an entity that lives or just resides by the door, appears by the doors. So we had the group there sit outside in the hallway to listen. And while we were inside, I was amongst the first group to go ahead and play with the Ouija board inside. And it was moving, you know, it was doing the typical Ouija board thing. Now, as I was saying during that call, I'm not sure if my friends were moving the Ouija board. And that's why I was saying I want to believe in it. I want to believe in it with all my heart. I want to believe in it. But I've never had any major experiences with Ouija boards. I bought a Ouija board myself. It says don't play the Ouija board by yourself. I've played it by myself. I've played it next to a cemetery. Nothing's happened. So maybe I'm just unlucky. But anyway, while it was moving inside the room as we were playing with the Ouija board, my friends could have been messing with me. The people outside, clearly and visibly, were shooken up when they came barging into the room and they said, "Hey, Nick, there's breathing outside." We all heard breathing, and it sounded like it was right next to our ears. We all heard it by the door. So that was that. And then we kind of flipped a switch. So the people that were outside after that went back, they went in the room, started messing with the Ouija board, and the rest of us sat outside next to the door as they were doing before. And I didn't hear anything personally. I might have felt a bit uneasy just because of, you know, it was dark. We had cut off all the lights and we were trying to spook ourselves out. So that could have been that. But personally, I have not had anything Ouija related that was significant. That was like, oh no, the Ouija board flying across the room. But anyway, before I ramble on too much more, I just wanted to kind of clarify that story just for most of our YouTube side. I don't know how the other callers felt about it, but I'm pretty sure I rambled way too much. Anyway, thank you guys for everything you do. Hopefully this version of me is way more clearer than any other version that has called in before. But thank you guys again, and have a good one.
Okay.
There you go. It is kind of interesting sometimes to get the follow-up on something, or when somebody, you know, sometimes the first time they call, they're a little nervous or whatnot, to get clarification on some things.
Yeah.
Especially when we're sitting there at the end of a call going, what about this? Mm-hmm. What about that? So I do appreciate that. Thank you for calling in and giving us that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys, my name's Jose. I'm out of Wichita, Kansas, and I want to say thank you so much for having a great podcast. I've been a fairly new listener to you guys. I just found you guys a couple weeks ago while I was searching Spotify for the music to the Haunted Mansion, oddly enough. That's kind of the theme I'm going for in my house, and when I did a search, you guys were one of the things that popped up, and so curiosity got the best of me, and I started listening to it. So I've been listening. I love the stories. I love how you guys do your show and format, and I wanted to call in about one of my most recent experiences, and I say most recent because I tend to be the type of person that weird stuff always tends to happen to. I've been told by, and actually on a side note, for some reason I could be in random places and psychics always tend to gravitate towards me and walk up to me and introduce themselves to me. I don't know what it is about me, but they seem to pick up on me and just kind of go with it. And it's kind of strange, but it's gotten to a point where it's such a common occurrence that I will definitely be meeting a psychic wherever I go. It's without fail. It just happens. So I've been told multiple times that I'm fairly susceptible. My family on both sides actually tends to be very susceptible. And actually, I kind of found out that my grandmother tended to be a practitioner of, I guess, would be the equivalent of Mexican black magic. She was a nasty woman. I'm not ashamed to say that. She had a lot of things, and she did a lot of things in her life that weren't good. But I think at the end, she kind of became a better version of who she originally was. But she was a very cold and just nasty woman growing up, but I've been told that basically I'm the polar opposite of her, so I don't know. I don't know how much weight that carries or what that has anything to do with it, but kind of back to my original story, this past summer was very, very busy for me. I had just started a new career, working for a nonprofit, and I picked up a side job just for fun because, you know, I didn't need evenings or weekends off, apparently. So this past summer, my schedule was ridiculously busy. It would consist of waking up at 4:30 in the morning, having some me time at the gym for a little bit, then being by the at the office by 7:30 to work until around 5 o'clock, maybe have a 30-minute gap between going to my second job and then coming home close to 10 o'clock. So that was kind of my routine over the summer. It was pretty intense, but it just kind of was, I'm still young, I was able to do it, and I was having fun while doing it. So one particular morning, I believe it was around April when this happened, I woke up like normal, and the first thing I would do is I would get up, put on my workout gear, and as soon as I came out of my bedroom, and kind of the layout of my house is that my bedroom is right by the front door. I'm in the master, and the master is kind of on one side of the house, and the rest of the bedrooms are on the other side. So I walk out of my bedroom. I go up to the front door of my house because I have three light switches, one which controls the main kind of hallway light inside the house, one that controls the outside porch light, and then we have a set of lights that kind of turn on in the overhang on the perimeter of the house. So I always turn on the perimeter lights just to kind of light up the house, make it so it's not so dark when I was leaving the house. So I turned on the perimeter lights, and for some reason, I looked through my front door, which is a kind of a frosted glass, and it looked like I had accidentally turned on the porch light, which isn't the light I wanted. So right on the side of the front door, I have kind of a set of sliding glass French doors which lead out to a courtyard. So I kind of looked out those doors to make sure that I turn on the perimeter lights and not the front porch light. So from that set of sliding glass doors and courtyard, I can see the walkway that leads up to the front of my house, and there's a set of steps that comes up. I can send you guys a picture so you can kind of see how my view is, so I looked out the side of these doors, and sitting on the steps in front of my house was this white shadowy figure, and it looked like somebody was just kind of hunched over, like after they've been working a long day. You know how people tend to just kind of plop down, whether it be on a bench or just outside on a set of stairs if they're working outdoors, and just kind of slump over, hands resting on their knees, just tired is what it looked like. So it felt like this took a matter of minutes, but it was probably a matter of seconds. I'm looking at it, and I guess the figure at that point starts to stand up. It looks like it's somebody that's about 6'1", 6'2", in height. It looks like a fairly tall person. So as soon as the figure stands up completely, I can tell by the kind of the shape of the body that it looks like it's a man. It's got had very broad shoulders and just kind of standing there, and it looked side to side, and then kind of turned back and looked in my general direction. And when it did that, it kind of took a few steps and then turned towards my neighbor's house. And at that point, I'm like the second house from the street that leads into our neighborhood. At that point, a car was turning into our neighborhood and was kind of turning onto my street. So at that point, I see the shadowy figure walking in the darkness with just a few lights that are kind of illuminating the perimeter of my house. And so this car is turning, and as soon as the headlights hit the figure, it just vanishes at that point. So I was left with a presence of, like, a feeling that I knew who that person was. The gait that it had and the few steps I saw, it was very reminiscent of the way my grandfather used to walk. And my grandfather had a pretty unique walk. It was a very sort of proud and just strong gait that he had, and most people say I kind of have a similar gait, but it's not to the same effect because I'm significantly shorter than my grandfather was. So I kind of had the feeling that I knew who it was, and for some reason he came into my mind. So I don't know if that was my grandfather, who came to visit and was kind of just sitting in front of my steps. Oddly enough, later that week, I happened to run into a lady who claimed to be a psychic, and she told me, actually, that, kind of validating what I felt, then she told me that I had been visited by my grandfather, and that he was just there to check out, make sure that things were good with me. I had just moved into my new house, so this is kind of the first house that I'm really owner in, so he was just kind of here to check out and just check out the house, see that I'm okay. That's kind of what she told me. And honestly, based on my experience seeing that figure, I got a very positive feeling from it. I didn't feel it was a negative entity. I didn't feel that it was there to hurt me or harm me in any way. It really just felt like it was somebody that was just there that popped in to say hi. So anyways, guys, I feel like I've rambled on for quite some time, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for the show. Hopefully you guys air my story. If you don't, I understand. If I ramble too much, I also understand. But thank you so much for a great show, and you guys have a good one.
I guess that's one positive aspect to being confronted by psychics all the time, is they can let you know who you just saw or who's about to come see you.
It's true. It's like putting on the special glasses. Mm-hmm. Remember you were a kid, like... There was like the red filter ones. I remember those. And you'd like look at a piece of paper and suddenly you could see this image that you otherwise couldn't see.
Sure.
It's like having that, but a family member mm-hmm. always there that can see the ghosts or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, kind of is.
So that's interesting. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here on the program. I've always said it'd be fun to have like heat sensor goggles living here out in the woods to be able to look out there and just see the wildlife that kind of camouflages itself on the trees or on the ground, more specifically like snakes and stuff, would be mm-hmm. kind of nice to see.
Yeah, I don't want to see all that. It would freak me out just to see all the stuff that is out there.
Everything that is living mm-hmm. just outside the window yeah. right there. There's a lot of it. We have neighbors right now that are on like squirrel catching patrol. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
I don't know.
But I went outside the other day in the morning and I see there's a squirrel trap. It's a no kill one. It's just
it's a live trap.
It's a live trap. And I was like, what are you? And I didn't see them. They were inside, but I saw they had caught a squirrel, in fact, and I went over and looked at the squirrel. It's like, oh, it's kind of neat seeing him close up. I felt bad for the little guy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm driving down the road and I see another person has another squirrel. And that there are a lot of squirrels here.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think it's necessarily a winning proposition of catching them and moving them, because it's like a fly swatter. You know, you're better off screening something in than thinking you're going to win the battle by removing the flies with a fly swatter, and that's going to stop the influx.
I don't know what's going on with that, because that's two different neighbors that are doing that.
They just want pets, or are they like playing a game of who can get the bigger squirrel?
I like the squirrels, so I kind of feel bad for them.
Go ahead.
They haven't done any damage to our property. No. So that might change once they start gnawing on our stuff.
I know that could probably, I mean, and I know that that has been an issue with some places in here of them getting into attics mm-hmm. and such. So I get it. And I appreciate they're doing the no kill of the squirrels. But again, I just kind of feel like, I don't know that that's necessarily a winning proposition. But like, it'd be better fix the structure as best you can if they're damaging the structure than moving the animal.
Yeah.
Because they're not going away. No matter what.
That's true.
But there you go. I'm just waiting to hear it's a big squirrel contest that we're not involved in. And then I'm going to want to get a trap so I can see if I can catch the biggest squirrel.
You just want to put sweaters on them.
Yeah, then we have a big party. We're like, maybe it's going to be a Christmas thing. Everybody brings the squirrel they caught, and then everybody puts a sweater on the squirrels.
No.
Then we let them go back into nature, and we have sweatered squirrels. Could happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi. You're on the air.
Hey, Jenny and Tony. This is Jessica from St. Louis. My scariest paranormal experience happened back in middle school while I was over at my friend Faith's house. We always were interested in the paranormal, and I remember her telling me stories of her house when we first became friends. She always said that her siblings' baby toys would turn on and move, that had been stored in the basement, and other things would move, and she'd hear things, and she'd always see this one girl. The only history I know of the house that she's told me is that it was an old farmhouse built in either between the 1700s and 1800s. There was a girl that lived there, and her dad abused her, and it ultimately led to her death. I don't remember if she had hung herself or if her father had, but it happened in the garage. It used to be the barn, and the original beams are still in the garage and are like the inside framework. Okay, now the story. I went over after school one day, and we were in her room listening to music on her laptop. We were singing along and just watching the lyric video when all of a sudden the music stopped and the screen went static like the TV from Poltergeist. I'm not a tech expert, but I'm pretty sure laptops don't do that, and they're not really supposed to. Suddenly, a voice came through, and I flipped. I jumped up and covered my ears, and I was standing in the middle of the room yelling at Faith for us to leave, but she told me to be quiet so she could hear whatever it was saying. And when I finally uncovered my ears, I heard the voice say, "You're gonna die." That was enough for both of us to run out of the house and run outside. And we stood outside trying to get a grip on what just happened. I didn't want to go back into her house, but I did after she begged me for like 10 minutes because she wanted to go talk to it. After grabbing a candle, she went upstairs back to her room. And Faith was never religious, but that day she drew a cross in chalk above her bedroom door, which stayed there for months. She lit the candle and sat in the middle of her room and kind of like held her own stamp sort of thing while I just watched. I didn't want to be a part of it. That whole time I did not want to look in her closet. Her closet didn't have a door, but I just could not bring myself to look over there. And she had the door inside the closet propped against the wall, covering like a little crawl space that went behind the upstairs bathroom. And Faith told me that the girl apparently used to go in there and try to hide. And I'm pretty sure that's why I was getting some kind of vibe not to look over there. Luckily, nothing happened, and nothing else did ever happen to me when I went over there. Faith moved out of that house for other reasons, and I think she was so impacted by that spirit because she had a very rough life, and that girl supposedly did too. But that's my story. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I actually have one more other story that my grandma has told me, and it's a pretty happy one, not scary. So I'd love to call in and share sometime. Thanks again. Have a good day. Bye, guys.
It makes you wonder if maybe the girl that died, if she was a little jealous of these other girls that were still living, and maybe that's why she was kind of nasty, you know? Because it doesn't... You know, just because you go through something like that, that doesn't turn you into a bad ghost, but you probably still have some of those same emotions that you had when you were alive.
And you can probably develop, you know, emotions and thoughts that you didn't necessarily, you know, maybe it wasn't your disposition when you were alive, but it can come about by your new situation, if you will, of being dead, where that could... That could come about. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Leslie from actually Columbus, Ohio. And my story actually took place a few years back in Paducah, Kentucky, of all places. Not exactly a ghost story, I don't think, but I'll tell you nonetheless. So I was there visiting a friend and decided that we were going to go on... Well, they wanted to take me on a ghost hunt one night, being that there was an open cemetery, and it was very old, and they had experiences before and had pictures to show as well, which were quite freaky. I wish I could show you this, but I don't have them. We did not go with a camera. So we went. It was very, very late, very dark, and we're walking, and all of a sudden we're by this large tree, and I looked up. There was this gigantic, like he had to be 6 feet tall, like a glowing, he was like neon green glowing angel. I could see everything in such, like, such detail. He, like, that he had denim. Everything was green, though, but he had denim pants on. He had longish hair. He was looking down, like, into the side. He had a leather jacket on and a white T-shirt. Well, what would have been, it was a light T-shirt. I can't say white. Everything was green. But, and I recall looking at this group of people and asking, do you see this? And I wasn't scared. And everyone, you know, we are all silent other than that question, and they said yes, they did. And I don't even know how long I stood there looking at him, but there were no, like, breathing motions or anything, but he wasn't at the ground. He started, like, a foot or two up and then went up. It was not a sculpture. This was crazy. So I don't even know what got us to keep walking along, but we did. And I was at the end of the group of people, and all of a sudden everybody stopped. And we were going to another part of this old cemetery, and the guy in front that stopped looked back at us, and he pointed forward. And in front of us, I don't know if it was the same one or another one of those very tall glowing green angels, but this one had his hand out with a stop motion, and that we did. We did stop. We did not go any further. We all took that as a warning, but let me say, I'm Wiccan. I'm not Christian. Angels aren't necessarily part of my belief system, but I know what I saw, and I felt validated by other people, well, everyone else in the group, seeing the same thing. And I have so many more stories, but that was the first one that I wanted to lay on y'all. And just became an EPB member last week. I love your show. It's awesome. Keep doing what you do, because we all do need this platform to not have people tell us how crazy we are or how imaginative we are. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So maybe the ghost / or angel, whatever it was, had its hand out to stop so that maybe they didn't get into something they weren't supposed to.
It was a warning. Mm-hmm. It was a friendly neighborhood ghost.
Could be.
Saying, I'm going to do something good here right now.
Maybe.
And I think there's ghosts that do the opposite as well.
Yeah, probably.
Encourage you to go towards the bad things. But I could see that being the case in this situation. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And by the way, if you want to be an EPP, you can sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up the normal way. We've always done it. We now also offer the way to become an EPP through the Patreon platform as well. So there's some levels of EPP over there you can support the show on, depending on what you'd like to contribute to keep this thing afloat. So many ways to become an EPP and get that content, bonus content, every single week from us. The starting place, ghostpodcast.com. Then choose your route from there. It's like choose your own adventure.
It is.
Except you don't go to you page through the book, and all of a sudden the page you're supposed to have the adventure on is missing because some asshole child before you ripped it out just to do that.
Did that happen?
It happened. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm still a little bitter.
I'm sorry.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So anyway, ghostpodcast.com to do that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.